Odd Sports Gambling Show coming out of Pat McAfee Incorporated offices. I am Tone Dix.
Atta baby ho.
How are you?
Great.
Bubba Gumpino.
How we doing?
The bearded wonder.
Just had to sneak in a little snack
there. The Canadian sensation.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're rolling from one show to another.
Right into it. Firmino just fucking gave the lads the lead. Come on!
Does this mean anything for Liverpool today? Or?
We still got a shot at getting top four in the Champions League. We got to win out,
get a little
bit of help. This is massive.
Were you you had a really good night again last night?
4-1.
7-1 the night before?
2-0 baseball to start today. Two pushes in footy. Unfortunately, Real Betis got late, but it's not bad.
I'm 500 over the last 2 days, except for today, I believe, 2-1.
Good start.
Not a bad start.
A few good games tonight.
Yeah.
Let's keep it rolling. Let's have a week, huh?
We'll get to MLB later. We'll get to NHL later. We'll get to a bunch of stuff later. Because right now, on the phone, we have via the FaceTime machine, we have an esteemed guest, Gumpy.
Let's go.
Raldzi. Welcome to Hammer Down.
Happy to be here.
We have an esteemed guest on the line. Official title that I was given was Director of Risk and Trading at FanDuel. A lot of dream jobs for a lot of people. Us, maybe not. Not good at the risk, Gumpy.
A lot of reward.
But we'll ask him. Director of Risk and Trading at FanDuel, John Sheeran. Welcome to Hammer Down.
Hey, baby, John.
How's it going, guys?
John, how are you? How are you today?
Very well. Excited to be here. I'm a big fan of the show, so looking forward to getting some picks out there.
Well, we're a fan of what you do. First and foremost, what is the director of Risk and Trading at FanDuel do?
As little as possible, as often as I can. It's our job is fundamentally about setting the odds for all of the bets and wager types, developing all the product that we have out there. So we spend a lot of time innovating with the likes of SGP, which I know you and your viewers are big fans of, and developing a lot of our player props. It's like you said, a dream job for most of the time.
How does that happen? Like, do you get input from people on the app, from actual bettors? Do you look at anything like that? Other companies are going for the same game parlays, for the stuff like that, for the 3x2 boost in basketball. Who comes up with? Do you guys just have a team of people that do that?
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of that is self-innovation. I think some, you know, good ideation from the guys in the marketing team around the odds boost. A lot of the partnership team that work with you guys come up with some of the ideas specifically for what you do. And yeah, I think, you know, we're lucky. We've got really good product and really good development team, support teams that allows us to, you know, expand on what we have. And, you know, hopefully we can keep going and driving this market and giving bettors more opportunity.
So, like, when I text Jordan from FanDuel, who we deal with a lot, does he come to you and say, hey, Hammer Down has an odds boost they want to do today, and they want it to be this, and then you analyze the risk and say yay or nay?
Yeah, I mean, normally we say yes, we're happy to kind of support, and Jordan will reach out and say, you guys like some better or another, and we'll go away and price it and put it on the site and take as much money as we can.
So when you're making lines for the site, is that you? Is it a computer? Because with all the props, with all the boosts, every single sport, MLB we do, there's every single inning,
same
there's
game
first
par,
five,
there's
same
everything.
Games. How does that, I mean, that's a lot of lines, that's a lot of risk to analyze in a day. How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, we have models that basically generate a lot of the algorithms for us and run the simulations in the background, and they'll basically spit out the probabilities that we think that the model thinks have of each individual wager of happening. So every time you go to the website and pick a different selection in an SGP, it runs the simulations and spits out what the probability and what the odds are. And that's what you see happening in real time. So we lean a lot on the resource from a technology perspective that we have. But when it comes to the NFL, the NBA, you know, our ratings and the adjustments we make on game to game or week to week, that is something that the guys in our teams, you know, have got a lot of experience doing, and they manage and absolutely crunch them numbers and analyze what the algorithm spits out and adjust them for all the things that, you know, the model can't understand, be it matchups, changes in staff, weather input, things like that. So, like you said, a lot of fun conversations, especially when there's disagreements.
That's what I was going to ask, like, because there's no way that the model Watson, by the way? Is it IBM's Watson? Is that who's doing it?
Yeah, we found a new job.
But there's no way that like a model can take into like a revenge factor. Like if a player's going back to play his team, or potentially they've been in Vegas for a few days or stuff like that. So you still have there's the human side, right? The little Vegas flu.
Yeah, it doesn't count for many strip clubs or such like. We're struggling with them ones, and there absolutely are edge cases. Like you said, the model runs simulations over a lot of iterations, a lot of data, and a lot of averages. So there will be certain instances that the model will struggle to pick up on, and for sure you can spot those opportunities and pick up on them.
So how do you guys do then? Like, because all right, so NFL schedule's out. You guys now have the over-under for season win totals. You have the yes-no on the playoffs. You have lines up for week one and two. Like, how much year over year. So I assume you guys have done week one lines before this early in the year. How much do those lines change from now and then? And how much liability and how much action is going in this early so far on the NFL?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, it's really topical. Obviously, that's why we kind of published a lot of the content that we did yesterday that you see on the site, the regular season wins, the first 2 weeks in the schedule. Last year, I believe for the, all of the teams where we had a footprint, we had the entire season price, I think, by the end of May. So we look to expand on what's on there. Huge demand already. Obviously, it's only a fraction of what we get come game day. In terms of line moves, obviously, there's so many unknowns, certain specific lines. I think I remember looking back last year and we had a line that moved 10 points from when we set it right now to when it actually came about. So there's lots of opportunity. If you think you've got a good feel for what might happen, Aaron Rodgers, where he might potentially end up in week one or two, then obviously that's going to have a huge impact on the line for the Packers. So there's lots of opportunity there. People just need to, I guess, invest a bit of time and make their picks and take advantage of our bad work.
So here's a question for you. During the draft, or the day of the draft, when the Rodgers news was breaking and there was news about him potentially going to Denver, and Denver was going to make an offer, and Denver's odds for the Super Bowl next year were plummeting. I believe they went from like plus 3,600 to plus 600 at some point, or 1,600, somewhere around there. Now, is that based on the information that's out there, or is it just you guys trying to cover your asses based on how much money's coming in on the Broncos? Or is it a little bit of both?
I think it's a little bit of all of that. I think fundamentally, though, I think there's some strong rumors. A, we know Aaron Rodgers is not happy in Green Bay, and we've saw, the impact of that in terms of the lengthening of the odds of the Packers winning the Super Bowl. We've moved them, I think, from 11-1 after the Super Bowl all the way to 17-1 now. And we think that Denver is by far and away the most likely destination should he decide to leave Green Bay. We were as high as 85-1 about the Broncos after the Super Bowl back in February, and they're already as low as 24-1. It's really just about us kind of assessing the probability, the likely odds of what Denver would be, and the probability we think he is of going there. So yesterday we put up a market in Colorado, the only state that we're permitted to, about what his next team will be. We made the Packers a minus 170 shot, with Denver a clear second favorite, a plus 220. So we think there's somewhere in the realms of a 25% true probability chance that Aaron Rodgers ends up in Denver.
I actually saw you tweet about that today, and I'm glad you brought up the point that that's the only market you're allowed to do that in. How do you guys deal with some markets? Like I think it was some of the market, like we were talking about NFL draft props leading up to the draft, and a lot of our listeners would say, hey, FanDuel doesn't have this. Where is this at on the FanDuel? But we have it here in Indy. I know like Jersey had a lot more props than we did here. Some states had none. Like, how do you guys deal with that?
Yeah, look, it's very difficult. It's new to us as well. We landed in the U.S. obviously after PASPA was repealed back in 2018. And, Europe and Australia are not regulated in the same way as sports betting is in the U.S. So we effectively could, price up what color will Tony Romo's tie be on Sunday night football, or how many times he's going to call a correct play. Those are markets that the regulators just aren't comfortable with. And I would think it's a maturity thing. I think, we've seen already a lot of states get more comfortable with it. And as we kind of expand and that maturity comes, I think we'll see gradual, risk taking is the wrong word, but I think they will see more openness from the regulators to expand on their offering. I think the draft is a difficult one. It's prohibited by statute and legislation in a lot of the states. So that is very much a case by case basis, and that would require the bills and the statute to be amended before we could actually go and offer it everywhere. We'd love to offer it everywhere. We're known in Europe with Paddy Power for offering a lot of novelty and fun markets, and you know, hopefully there's a day when we can do that everywhere in the US too.
Say, speaking of Europe, and this just came off to me on top of my head, was the Leicester result of winning the Premier League the most insane thing that the books have ever seen over there?
Yeah, I think it's very close to it. I mean, I think there were 3,000 to 1 at the start of the season. I was working in Paddy Power at the time, and I think they drew their first game or their first two games that season before they went on to win the league. And I remember we pretty badly looked up some bets from at the start of the season. Uh-huh. And one customer had placed $10 at 3,000 to 1, which would have netted him $30,000. But after they drew the first game, he cashed out for $6. So he ended up losing $4 on his wager on the 30 that he would have collected.
That leads me into, John, I cashed out one for $250 during the college football season that would have paid out $8,000, and it did. This is a question that people get a lot of time. When does the cash out pop up? Because sometimes I'll look to cash out and it's not up there. Is there a certain set of rules when you guys give the cash out versus when you don't? Is it a situation where you're like, oh, I think this person may actually win this bet, so let's throw up the cash out now? How does that work?
Exactly. No, we're definitely not that sneaky. Basically, it's just calculating the probability of the odds when you place the wager against what it currently is. So the system just really needs your market that you wagered on to be alive and further to be live odds. So if you think about like very, very late in an NBA game, it might be suspended because the game's already over, as in the probability of the result is already determined. In those cases, you won't get a cash out offer because it's suspended. So the two criteria are that your market is still available for wagering and that there are live odds at that moment in time.
Gumby?
Yeah, John, is this there? I guess a question, is there more bets on like newer things being made? Like, I know a lot of people bet this first inning draw, first inning under, first inning no runs. Just can you dive into some of the newer bets that a lot of people are betting on right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think the setup for the U.S. sports in general, the core sports, mean that it's a pretty long investment in time, right? If you bet a run line in a baseball game or a total, invariably you're invested in that for 3 hours plus. So I think people prefer what we call micro betting and, you know, quicker hits and the ability to be able to sit down for 5-10 minutes, watch an event, place a wager on it, and actually get the outcome while you're investing that time, rather than sitting there and, you know, waiting for the outcome of the game. Like, NBA is a really good example where the last 4 minutes or so are really the crunch time. And how often does it happen that you have a wager on a total where, you know, you're sweating every basket on an over for an hour and a half, and then all of a sudden it really just comes down to the crunch at the end. So we've tried to solve for a lot of markets that give people the opportunity to be able to get in and get out quicker and spend and get that entertainment value in a much shorter time frame. And I think you'll continue to see a lot of that. We've developed some markets in our new model for baseball and eventually hope to get to a place where you can bet on every single pitch, every single at-bat, at-plate appearance in the MLB. And I think that could happen as early as this season.
Oh, John, that's...
Is there ever a thought to go... a lot of books in... I call it footy, but soccer betting. If a team goes up 2 goals, they'll pay you out. Have you ever thought about doing that?
And John, do you look at what Gumpy takes since he is such a good footy bettor and then potentially change the line?
Yeah, we change them the other way. So when he takes when he takes a team, we want to take more money on that side. Yeah, look, we look at all of those promotions. We've actually been really well known in Europe for doing those. So we've looked at it in the NFL around 14 up or 7 up when you go up 7 points in a basketball game, or 14 up in an NFL game that your bet is actually graded in real time as a winner. I think some of the challenges that we've met is the regulated state-by-state approach in the U.S. and trying to get all the regulators aligned with approving that is a little bit challenging. So for now, we haven't been able to do wholesale, but for sure something we're looking at and something I would expect to see on a broader scale soon.
But definitely thank you for the double chance in footy. I appreciate it.
No problem. I think everybody likes that one.
I was kind of joking about Gumpy and moving the lines, but like, in the olden days in Vegas, if a sharp or a shark walked in and placed a bet, then potentially the line would move, not only because of the liability, but because they respect that guy's opinion on the bet. now that it's on the app and not so much brick and mortar, like, is there people on the app that you guys pay attention to that, like, do have a good percentage, winning percentage on the app and stuff like that, and then you will pay attention to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we treat that very much as more information, right? So if we hang a line on week one and we get a sharp bettors coming in telling us, you know, your opinion is wrong, then for certain customers, we'll absolutely value that. I think in certain situations, we're more sensitive to that than we would be on a Super Bowl, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, we believe that we're pretty good at setting lines in the NFL or in the NBA. And we also have, you know, excessive ego on this floor as well. So it takes a lot for us to be convinced that somebody else has got a better opinion. But for sure, there are customers that will wager early in the week, yeah, ahead of a weekend NFL, where we will either negate our position if we had a position against the market. So if we're -7 on the Patriots, I know that wouldn't happen anytime soon against anybody, but when it used to happen, somebody might come in and bet the other side, and we might say, okay, we want to go back to market because we respect this customer's opinion so much. But, you know, broadly speaking, that's really difficult. They're pretty rare to find those guys that sharp, you know?
Yep. Mick, go ahead, buddy. Mick? Jay, his mic's off. Oh, no. Sorry, his mic's off, John. We'll get to it. Go ahead, Mitt. You're on now.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Sorry about that. Thank you for coming on. This has been an absolute pleasure for me to listen to this. Giant gambling addict, or I guess degenerate. Sorry.
No, you can't say that, man. You
can't say that. But I am a big college football, college basketball, not really college basketball, but I'm also a big college lacrosse fan. I'm kind of wondering, why do you guys only have certain college sports, and, like, really what goes into that criteria of, like, I guess talking to the NCAA, or just who do you guys, like, get that from?
Thanks, Mitt.
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I think one we have never really gotten to the bottom of yet. I think, you know, fundamentally at core, it's really centered around widespread demand. You know, obviously our business under the Flutter umbrella and Paddy Power brands in Europe and Australia and Sportsbet, college football and basketball were really the only two college sports that we were exposed to. So I think you've kind of that lead-in time that we had for US sports before we even landed here with FanDuel, that meant that lacrosse and even baseball to some degree hasn't really been prioritized. We don't really cover NCAA hockey either. And I think we absolutely have been surprised. We knew there was a huge opportunity with college sports, maybe didn't even realize how big it's actually been. Mm-hmm. Our development strategy right now is to improve the college basketball and football offering primarily. We think that there's a huge opportunity. We'll have a brand new model for college basketball next season. We'll be the first operator in the U.S. to take that in-house.
Okay.
We're excited about that and the you know, the extra product that that will potentially lead to. So expanding SGP to the college sports, expanding on player betting opportunities. I think the natural progression over time will be to look at the other opportunities like lacrosse, like baseball, and like hockey as well. But, you know, prioritization means that the bigger sports will win in the short term, and I think that's what you're seeing with us for now.
Is there any worry, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, with the smaller college sports of just potential, like a player getting bought or anything like that? Like, is that a thing that is concerning with the smaller college sports?
Yeah, Integrity is something we're incredibly experienced with. We've been partnered with Integrity Independent Monitoring Services in Europe for, you know, 20-25 years. We're partnered with Swimma here in the US right now for exactly the same purpose. I think in general, you see opportunities for integrity issues in lower tier sports where the financial gain isn't significant. And that's obviously very, very true in college, yeah, sports as well. But, you know, our limits tend to reflect the opportunity and the lack of,
gotcha,
Confidence we have in prices. So I think the financial opportunity is actually far less than maybe what the common perception is, particularly as we go down the sports and beyond football and basketball.
I got one more, and then Gumpy's got one more, and then let you out. We can't thank you enough for your time. So this weekend we have the Preakness. We got the NBA playoffs coming up, and we have the NHL playoffs coming up. As far as handles concerned, who will do the most? Do you have any huge risks? Like, if it's Lakers and Nets finals, are you guys in a good spot there? Is that the dream scenario for you guys? But of those three things, who does the biggest handle, and then potentially some big liability that you guys potentially have?
Yeah, I mean, NBA is always the biggest because of the frequency of the games, obviously, and obviously the kind of stature of the sport. Hockey will tend to be a little lower. Playoff time, obviously, it increases, but in general, hockey will be somewhere between 3 and 5% of our total handle. Mm-hmm. NBA, like, probably more like 6 or 7 times that.
Okay.
So NBA is really one of our top sports. Obviously, NFL is king, but the frequency of basketball and baseball actually bring it beyond the handle that we take in the NFL. In terms of exposure for the championship, the biggest liability we have is on the Knicks.
Oh, really?
120-1 right now. They lose us about $3.5 million if they win. The Nets are a loser, and the 76ers are a loser, and basically everybody else would be a winner for us. I think in terms of what we're cheering for in the finals,
Western
Conference.
If we get
the Lakers and the Nets in a series final, I think that would be by far and away the biggest event combined outside the Super Bowl in sports betting in the regulated market in the U.S.
That'll be good.
Yeah, John, a lot of people who watch ask about how the round robin works. I tried to explain it yesterday, but if you could dive into exactly how it works, I think that'd be great for a lot of people.
And John, if you could jump on top of that, one question that we ask all of our guests that we bring on, it, and I would be an idiot not to ask you, advice for beginning bettors on FanDuel.
Yeah, look, I'll answer the advice one first. Look, people might put a question mark over this and say, why is a bookmaker giving me advice on betting? But you know, my view is it's entertainment, particularly for a novice bettor. I think it's so difficult. Very few people, like a tiny percent of 1% of people, can make this pay as a full-time job, and mm-hmm. it's really difficult. And frankly, you know, the odds literally and frankly are stacked against you. You've got really no shot if you're betting multiple games on a Sunday slate. I know it's not a lot of fun, but if you're going to get involved in it beyond the entertainment value, I think you need to be pretty disciplined in terms of, you know, selectiveness when you're deciding how many bets you're going to have and where you're going to bet. My advice to people will be stay away from the spread in the NFL or the money line in baseball, and maybe look at markets like player props where you're competing against, frankly, just less liquidity.
Yeah.
Your opinion might be against one of our traders, for example, and not against billions of dollars as an industry. And I would try and stay away from betting overs on star players, particularly in the NFL. Receiving yards, passing yards. I'd be looking at second and third on the depth chart in the skill positions and trying to figure out if you can like the matchup or potentially see something that the traders might have missed. I think you've got a far better chance of succeeding and losing at a lower rate and potentially even winning in markets like that rather than betting on, you know, a five-team parlay on a Sunday in the NFL. Round robins are really difficult to explain. I'm not the we actually don't take too many of them in Europe, so I'm not as au fait with them as I should be. But if fundamentally you can pick from multiple selections, you can pick round robins by, so let's say you have 4 selections, you can pick a round robin 2 or a round robin 3. Obviously 4 would be the parlay, and effectively you pay for every combination that there is from 4 and 2, which I believe is 6, although I might be wrong, might be 4. And effectively, once you get a minimum of 2 winners, you will get a payout, and it's all of those individual combinations that you've paid for then calculated by multiplying your stake by the 2 winning odds of those 2s, and then you can do the same for 3s out of 4 as well.
John, we can't thank you enough. I tried explaining it's kind of like betting a box in horse racing, but I don't even know if that
exactly.
was yeah. We can't thank you enough. Please come back on anytime. We appreciate your wisdom. Good luck with all of the handles. Good luck to the West Coast and the NBA. thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Happy to be here.
Thank you, John.
Anytime.
Have a great day. That's what we need.
That's good stuff.
That's good stuff. Man, what happened back there, dude?
I don't know. My mic wasn't on.
Did you say addict?
He said gambling addict degenerate.
Yeah, I guess you can't really say that. I kind of thought that like halfway through. I was like, well,
it's like the two literally the two words in the English language you couldn't say to that guy, and you just jammed them both together.
Right, I can't say, can I not say degenerate to that guy?
They don't like it.
They don't
it.
Love it.
Why?
Because it's got
professionalism.
It's a bad connotation, Mitt.
It has a bad
it
connotation.
It puts a negative spin on their entire
industry.
Yeah, entire industry.
Out of it, Jay.
They got phone numbers for that.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Hey, he said great question. And basically,
that's because he just ignored the entire first section.
Basically, Mitt, if you want to bet on lacrosse, college lacrosse, you need to rile more people up.
So I should start just tweeting about it. All right.
Yeah. Like if you get a bunch of people who want to bet college lacrosse, then that'll happen. That was sweet. That was nice. Turns out FanDuel needs the Western Conference to win the NBA Finals to win.
Fucking Knicks, huh?
$3.5 million in liability on the Knicks.
I wanted to ask him how much the Knicks have lost FanDuel this year. They have been killing it.
They have.
The spread.
They have. They moved the lines because of us, obviously. He said that, right?
Something like that, I think. Yeah.
Something That's like that. You heard that, Nick. That,
yeah. To that effect, yeah.
The hockey's huge for them.
That was nice to hear. Wasn't expecting that. I got called into something else and was tied up with someone else, but I wanted to ask them why they don't have the damn series lines up yet. But I assume those will come.
I should have asked. That's on me.
That's all right. The TV schedule just came out today.
They do have the... I saw the series lines on there yesterday. Just probably not on the app. I was on the site.
Yeah, it's not on the app yet.
Yeah.
But that's all right.
Stanley Cup.
Plus, I mean, the one's technically not settled yet. Colorado can still...
Are they...
Did Colorado win last night?
Yes.
They were minus 2.5 on the puck line, by the way. Did they cover the 2.5 on the puck
line?
They
did. They absolutely annihilated the Kings, who they play again tonight, and are minus 450 on the money line tonight. It's the highest money line in the NHL that has been this season.
While we are... I now get why Brown fucking texted me. I'm definitely not doing this right. He's on the phones, isn't he?
Yeah, Brown's on the phones, and he didn't know how to type in the names, so it was a bunch of just no-name callers.
Thank you, Brown!
Talking about the phones.
While we're on the NHL playoffs, Joe from Denver, what do you got?
Yeah, hey, just got a quick question. Hammer down, boys.
Hammer down.
Just a quick question. I love doing parlays during the regular season, but I'm fairly new to this whole thing on FanDuel, and I'm just nervous about like doing parlays, even in-game parlays during the playoffs because everything is so like, may not play a certain player, just anything like that. So just your guys' thoughts on that.
Can you do an in-game parlay?
That's
can you do a live parlay?
If you can. I had no idea.
You can, but it's tricky because I've done it with hockey because the odds change so quick.
Yeah, you got to.
You got to get lucky because it gives you like a 10-second countdown while you're placing the bet. You got to hope that they don't change within that 10 seconds.
And a lot of people ask me to ask about the 10 seconds live. It's so that they have, if there was a goal scored or whatever, or a run scored within those 10 seconds, they can take your bet down or whatever.
It's possible, but you got to be quick.
I mean, you could, listen, we love parlays.
Parlay.
I'll never tell you not to do a parlay, but we have had multiple bookmakers come on this show and tell you not to do them because they rarely hit, but...
You can do all parlays you want.
You can do all the fun.
We won't give you a parlay because they're impossible to hit, but, like, you know,
like I said,
take a couple picks you like, throw them in there.
Like I said a million times, a parlay is for a sprinkle. Sprinkle on it.
We have said if you're doing a 5-leg parlay, 4-leg parlay, you do that.
Yeah.
But you then also bet them singularly, and your parlay is not as much. Now, I say this. Do I listen to what I fucking say?
No.
I do the exact same amount.
Parlays are the
best. I bet parlay every fucking weekend on NFL.
Obviously, you want to hit a parlay.
I don't really understand the other part, talking about the playoffs versus the regular season.
No, I mean, playoffs, to me, is a lot easier to bet. Strictly because you know the teams are going to be fucking going as hard as they can. Yeah. And they're not going to be resting players. You know, you pretty much have a good idea who's going to be playing. Yeah. I didn't really. I didn't either. Dylan, lead us into some baseball talk real quick. Dylan? Dylan from Canada?
Hello?
Dylan.
Is it Dylan?
Hammer down, boys.
Hammer down, boys. Hammer down, Dylan. Fucking right, boys.
No, first time caller here. I've been trying to get on the show for 2 weeks now.
Yes.
Let's go.
Fucking yes. Let's go.
All right. I got an over on the first five for you guys.
Oh, we got
Cardinals, Rockies.
No, I was gonna go Yankees, Rays. Over four, first five. Both starters have over a 5 earned run average, and the WHIPs are over 1.1. Talion has allowed 8 earned runs in his last 3 starts, and Rich Hill did have a solid start his last time out, but I do like the over here.
What do you think, Paul?
Rich Hill 6 innings, 2 hits last time out, 0 earned.
So you're saying...
I don't bet overs in baseball.
No, me either, personally. I've never taken an over in any sport, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big over guy either, for being honest, but yeah.
There's just so much that can go wrong.
I mean, you saw last night, like, Yankees and Braves didn't score till what, the 6th inning?
Yeah. What do you like tonight?
Tonight? Giants. with Descalfini on the mound. First five money line over the Pirates. I also like the Marlins first five money line with Trevor Rogers on the mound.
All right, so you are going, hold on, let me catch up to you here because I was dealing with the computer. MLB.
Yep.
Schedule.
Schedule.
You're going with Descalfani?
Yeah. I mean, his last three, 18 and a third. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's been very good. What was the juice on that, though?
Minus 145 this morning. I don't know what it's at now.
That's not terrible.
That's not bad at all.
I can't remember why I didn't take this. I wish I should have wrote it down.
I mean, Will Crow has not been bad. His last two, he's gone 11, only given up five. He's not terrible.
The line's actually locked right now. So you're going Giants there, first five.
Yeah.
What about you taking anything in Oakland and Boston?
No.
It's pretty much, it's basically a coin flip game.
Yeah, Richards has been very good of late. Last three, 19 innings pitched, six earned, 22 Ks. He's been good, but Manea last time out, seven and a third, two hits, one earned, 10 Ks.
Boston's minus 108, Oakland's minus 108. It's basically a coin flip game.
That's a shame. You should flip an imaginary coin in your mind, and whatever it lands on, that's what you should go with.
You got anything on the...
It's going to come to the diamond at some point.
It ain't coming to the diamond.
Oh, yeah. You got anything on Rangers-Stros?
Rangers-Stros. Let me see here. No, I didn't take that game. Who's going for the Rangers?
Fulte.
Fulte and Christian Javier. It was...
Javier appears to be
good.
Leveling up.
So his minus 215 was a little too...
Yeah, his last two,
too heavy 10 for me.
The third with eight earned six
Fulte
walks.
Has stabbed me in the back a few times this season.
Yeah.
So I stayed away from that one. Cincy at Colorado.
You can get good value on Castillo if you think he can figure it out. And his last five starts, 23 and a third
stinks.
With 20 runs.
Yeah, he stinks.
And I ain't...
He used to be good.
I ain't riding with fucking Chi-Chi.
I feel like
tell you
2 years
much.
Ago, Castillo, we fucking bet every single time.
Every first five, he's getting plus a half because the Reds stunk.
Correct. Those were our
I would think about it. I would think about... Just because
I wanted to.
It's not that high for Castillo. I would think about it.
I'm going to have to wait on that one. Miami at Arizona. I am on this one.
I didn't get
this one. I didn't get that Miami was only minus 130 first five when Trevor Rogers versus Merrill Kelly, Jesus. That's what we like to call a mismatch, pal.
So,
Rogers 1.89 ERA and 2.69. And then Kelly's got almost six.
The only thing here is Rogers wasn't quite as good as last time out.
I know, and he was...
And Kelly has four straight starts of going at least five, giving up three or less.
I know.
So...
I know.
The Marlins just aren't playing great ball. That's the only reasoning here, I think.
But I'm going to take them.
Yeah, I'm taking them too.
And then the game after that, the last game of the night, Cleveland at Seattle. I'm on this one too.
So I wanted to take the Mariners plus a half, but Flexen's at.
Yes.
I like Flexen.
It's Logan Gilbert, who is...
He's their stud.
He's being called up by the Mariners, his first start. He was taking number one overall, He was their number one overall pick, number 28 overall, like two years ago-ish.
Yep.
So he is their young stud. But when you have Plesac on the mound, who has been...
I mean, Tony.
Last 3 years, his ERA has been threes.
His last three games, 21 and a third, three earned, 17 Ks.
We're going to go with the guy who's been around the block a few times. And the Mariners, I believe, are in a little bit of a slump hitting right now. So we're going Plesac minus 128 is where I got him at.
So it's minus 120 now.
Okay.
I'm going to take Plesac with you, and I'm also going to...
Are you?
First inning draw here at minus 135. I hope this kid, you know,
comes out.
Is fired up.
So
I had to get a first inning draw, and this was the only one I saw that I loved.
I don't have any of those tonight. Tonight I have Miami minus 130 first five and Cleveland minus 120. Eight first five. You got it at minus 120.
Yeah, I got Giants first five money line, Marlins first five money line, Cleveland first five money line, and then Mariners Cleveland first inning draw.
Awesome. Zach from Boston, what do you got?
Hammerdan, how you boys doing?
Hammerdan, what do you got?
Yeah, so I got some NBA picks, got some overs tonight.
Okay.
Let's go, dude.
So We got Milwaukee, Indiana, over 241.5.
Okay.
Pacers are literally always hitting over 250 in a lot of these games.
Yep.
I like that a lot. Philadelphia 76ers against the Heat, over 217.5. I like that a lot. I do think they think that even though the Heat have great defense, I expect this to be a very high-scoring game. You can also take the over in the Trailblazers-Phoenix Suns game, over 235. I expect the intensity in that game to be very, very high, and I expect over to hit in that one as well.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you, Zach.
Nick.
Yes, sir.
Before we head to the NBA, you said there's only three NHL games tonight, right?
There are. Short slate.
How many games left? This is we're almost at the end, right?
Yeah, the only thing that's left is, like I said, Colorado and LA play tonight to determine who's going to win that division. If Colorado wins, they win the division. If LA somehow upsets them, Vegas wins the division, that determines the last seeding. And outside that, there's a couple makeup games in the North Division between all the Canadian teams, but none of them count for anything in the playoffs. They're just finishing for
bullshit
revenue and player salaries and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
And a draft and get you, yeah.
So tonight, I mean, if you think LA has a shot in hell, I think they're plus 340. I'm not going to touch that. I will touch in that game the first period. We're going first period result.
Oh, are we?
The three-way line. Let's go Avs minus 110.
Avs minus 110.
Let's go Colorado line to win the first period.
Okay.
And then
I like that.
The coin flip game of the night.
Blues. All rise for the honorable coin.
Let's go Blues.
It is back.
Yeah.
With the Blues in the Wild.
What's the coin's record?
Blues.
The coin is currently 8-6.
The coin is 8-6. It won last night with the Blues.
I'll make you guys a deal here.
Blues, Blues.
Maybe a little
Blues
compromise.
Blues.
When this coin drops below 500.
Yeah.
If the coin drops below 500,
yeah,
you can take it to the diamond.
Deal.
You can do whatever you want with it.
Against the coin.
I don't want to root against the coin either.
Well, you won't be. It'll just be a nice little compromise. We'll bury. I'll bury it, and you guys can dig it back up and
that
reanimate
sweet
it. But we are going tonight. It paid off last night with the Blues. Tonight we're back on the same game. Minnesota minus 112 at St. Louis again. Mm-hmm. Minus 104.
Come on, Blues.
I think both teams are resting a couple guys.
Blue.
Minnesota will be heads. Blues will be tails. And the flip, it's heads.
Oh, no.
Fuck. We're on the Wild tonight, boys.
We're getting wild tonight.
We're on the Wild tonight.
The coin is spoken.
Oh, he got it back.
Minnesota Wild. Minus 112.
Damn it.
Blues. Well, I can't wait to fucking root for the Blues. In the
would have been nice to run it back.
Is fucking Bettenkirk still their goalie?
Who?
The guy who came in and fucking won
Jordan Bennington? Yes, it is.
There it is. Thank you.
Yes, it is. Yes,
Bettenkirk
he is
from something. I could promise you the fact that I was close. Tell you what I have learned since moving to Indiana. When a major sport just isn't in your city, it's a lot harder to pay attention to.
It's very hard. People get mad when we do That's Hockey Talk that we don't talk about the Carolina Hurricanes enough because they had such a good record, like second best record in the league, I think, behind.
They don't get covered.
Vegas and
you're part
Colorado
of the problem.
They're not covered at all. They're never on national TV. They don't get a lot of highlights on Twitter for whatever reason. And I think they're a very good team. I respect the hell out of them, but it is what it is.
Like
I hate that saying. I hate that phrase.
Like when we lived
like
in Pittsburgh.
That?
I don't, because it doesn't really make any sense.
It
but,
is.
But it applies it here.
When we lived in a burg, you'd watch 2 to 3 hockey games a week. You'd learn about all the teams. I can't watch it anymore. It's the worst.
Well, ESPN will help with that.
ESPN will help, and that's why they did it.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, boys.
Nick.
Let's go, coin.
Brian, you don't have to answer any more calls. We'll run through this slotman of that we got on here. We'll do a little NBA talk and then we'll get the fuck out.
Thank you, Brown.
Hey, baby Brown.
Jordan from Michigan. Bless you.
What's up, Jordan?
What do you got? Who's knees, Jay? Bless you.
Hammer down, boys.
Hammer down.
Hey, I know that it's May, but I actually just ran into some early Heisman finalist odds. Would you like to hear them, gentlemen?
Yeah. Give them to me. Give me like
top. All right, let's go.
Give me like top 3 to 5. 3.
Okay, yeah, I've got 4 right here.
Okay, 4 works.
I actually JT Daniels of Georgia.
Who?
Plus 600.
Didn't he get benched last year?
Who did you just say?
He said JT Daniels. Didn't he get benched last year?
He did not. Go ahead. Continue.
Sam Howell, North Carolina, plus 700.
Couple quarterbacks. Go ahead.
Bryce Young, Alabama, and Kedon Slovis, USC, both plus 1,000. That's the 4 that I got for you, gentlemen.
What about the kid from Cincinnati?
Fucking
Rattler.
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Oh, not Rattler. No, I like the quarterback from Cincy.
Number 5.
No, he's number 9, Mitt.
What's his name?
Mitt, you're supposed to be... You just talked about how much you love college football.
Yeah, dude, I don't bet the Mickey Mouse American Conference.
Whoa. Well, they were undefeated last year for...
We bad-mouthing the Cats, dude.
I'm not bad-mouthing the Cats. They're the best team in the conference.
Maybe. Desmond Ridder.
Yeah,
there we go. Close to Ridder, Spencer Rattler.
I'll take either of them.
I wanted to take Rattler because it's Oklahoma.
Was he on Last Chance U?
He was on QB1. Did you just say yes? How many times in a row are you going to be fucking wrong?
I don't know.
And be at the most confident human in the human saying it.
I will do that in any facet of life. Don't I?
Smart. Probably okay. Works.
Good to know. Good to know. I'm trying to NCAF, NCAF futures. Heisman. Spencer Rattler's the favorite, which I thought.
Rattler's the favorite?
Yeah.
Who's Bama's quarterback?
Bryce Young. He dropped it. That dude said he was plus 1,000. I have heard that he has like crazy arm talent. Best high school quarterback since Kyler Murray. So I don't know.
JT Daniels, plus 800. DJ Uwe, who I learned how to say his name when Trevor was out last year. Bryce Young, Sam Howell, North Carolina, Derek King, Miami, who is coming back from a knee injury. Rattler as the favorite makes sense to me.
I really do like that Sam Howell pick, though. I think this UNC team is going to make a run this year. So
I'm going to go find – at some point this summer, I'm going to fucking scroll down to the bottom here and find myself a fucking Joe Burrow diner. You know what I mean? Some guy.
Could be Bama's quarterback, dude.
Could be. But he's not that far down there.
Mm.
Let's get to another call. Is that cool, you Gumby?
Go ahead, sir.
Let's get to Johnny Betts. No, sorry, not Johnny Betts. Tristan's been on longer. Tristan from Virginia, what do you got?
Hey, Mr. Gump, Mr. Diggs, Mr. Raldsey, and Mr. Mitt, I've got 4 soccer picks for you.
Go ahead.
All right, I've got Ibar, who just drew with Betis today. I've got them draw no bet, or if you're feeling frisky, money line.
Gumby doesn't like that
Valencia.
One. Hold on. Why don't you like that, Gumby?
I like Valencia.
Okay, go ahead.
See, Valencia just fired their manager for about the 18th time in the last 10 months, and Ibar haven't lost in 3, and they're desperate to not get relegated, and there's a better team on SPI, which is always nice.
Tristan versus
what Gumpy. Are they in the standings?
Tristan versus Gumpy pick of the week.
Oh, they're dead last, but that's not important. Don't worry.
What place is Valencia in?
what else do you got, Tristan?
I also got Hoffenheim draw no bet versus Arminia Bielefeld. They're minus 122.
Gump loves
I have no idea how they're not the favorite. They're the better team. They haven't lost in 5, and Bielefeld are in the relegation playoff place.
Gump.
I'm not touching that one.
Okay, continue, Tristan.
And then even though they've already won, I'm still taking Inter. You can either go double chance, minus 155, or draw no bet, plus 122 against Juve. Inter are the better side. They've been the better side all season. Juve is just poorly assembled. And if you think Antonio Conte does not want to beat Juve and take their lunch, I mean, good luck.
Anything?
Good bet.
Okay, good bet on that one. Next, last
one. And then last one, I've got Lens money line, minus 105 versus Bordeaux. Lens are the better side. I mean, they just lost to Lille, but everybody's been losing to Lille. And the thing is Bordeaux's owners are selling the team and they're getting the fuck out, so the players are just like, fuck, why am I even trying? So they're gonna go fuck it, and yeah, I think Glenn's gonna win.
Thank you, Tristan. Tell you what, I don't know if those bets are gonna hit or not, and you disagreed with a few of them, but at least Tristan knew what he was talking about.
Yeah,
that's always
Inter
nice.
Milan Juventus is a tough game. I was gonna try and stay away from that one.
I don't go against CR7, dude.
Yeah, and I know like it's a good story. Conte wanted to beat Juventus, but Inter Milan's clinched the league already. Juventus still fighting for to get into the Champions League. Like,
did I just see that CR scored 100 goals in three different leagues?
Yeah,
that's pretty good. Karch, I feel like Karch is Karch. Are you cheating the system? You can't call in every day, Karch.
My bad, B. You guys are just, you know, the best damn betting network.
What do you got? What do you got?
Boston and Athletics under 4.5 first five plus 106. That looks like that looks pretty good money. And then Suns Blazers team total over 116.5.
Thank you, Karch. Who's going for the Sox?
Garrett Richards has been very good of late.
Yeah, both teams.
Manea so been very good. Boston's on a bit of a schneid. They're not really hitting, but they could snap out of that at any time, my friend.
And then DeAndre Ayton's out for the Suns, I believe, or he's questionable. Suns have been in a little bit of a funk lately. Blazers have been a little bit hot. I was going to look at leaning towards Blazers tonight. Oh, Michael actually has a Blazers-Suns question. Johnny, I mean, Betts, you're next.
Hold.
What? What?
Just, nah, go ahead, sorry.
No.
Never mind.
What?
You can't just say Ibar is a better team than Valencia.
Oh, Tristan's still,
I mean,
still in your head.
Ibar's dead last in 20th and Valencia's in 14th. Like, come on.
Well,
they might be better right now, but that's because they
current form,
Paul. They have no fear of fucking anything to lose because they're already on the fucking league.
Current form. Is you staying away from that game or are you taking Valencia?
Have to wait and find out.
It's a Gumpy versus, might be the Gumpy versus Tristan bet of the week. Michael, Blazers son, what do you got?
I got the Blazers tonight.
I do too, I think. Is there any reason you're just calling to say?
Dame and CJ got the boys going crazy tonight. They're about to put up 60 combined or more.
Okay.
What the Michael. Fuck?
So there's two types of calls. You could be Michael where he calls in fucking Blazers tonight. Okay. Any reasoning? Cool. Or, you know, callers who got some reasoning.
Whatever you want to do.
Either work.
Colts just signed Eddie Pinheiro.
Really? Fucking, is the goggle guy gone?
Probably.
Wasn't he good last year?
I think he was pretty decent.
Can't kick with power, like outside of like 55.
So what, they're going to roll with two? What, fuck, get Vinny in there.
Vinny might come fucking back,
Hulkamaniac, dude. The guy's fucking
dope. Two more calls.
You're preaching the choir here on that one.
Two more calls. Fucking,
those sleeves just popped off.
And then we'll do NBA and get the fuck out. Yeah.
Come on, Gumpy. This is your first time.
I mean, you're just creating controversy for a guy you drafted, aren't you?
No, they also didn't draft Blankenship.
But they picked, like, it's second year.
Like, yeah, but your second, like, he's not worth any money yet. Like, he's still on his rookie contract. Right now is the time to bring someone in and see if he's, like, going to be able to kind of kick long and, like, just all that shit. Because you can't just be a good field goal kicker. You have to be able to, like, kick from 55 out. You're in the NFL now, dude. You know what I mean?
So here's a question. Would you rather have someone who never missed 50 or less or have a guy that could bomb balls?
I would rather have someone that would never miss 50 or less, but that's not what you're getting with anybody. So I would rather have someone that can kick
long. How many times did Blankenship miss last year?
I'll look up his stats here in a second.
I did watch him miss a couple kicks.
As Bill from Maryland talks to us.
What's up, guys? Hammer down.
Hammer down.
Are the goggles, dude?
So, hey, I'm the third type of caller. I take your information and I look for the most efficient way to put the bet in.
Smart.
I tried the round robin last night.
Okay.
I typically bet in $10 units. Okay. I played a 5-game MLB parlay for $10 plus 1,400 odds.
Okay.
I paid out 142. That missed, but I put the same $10 into the 5-leg round robin. And that ended up with plus 180 odds, and that hit for $18 to the good. And then the parlay payback refunded my first parlay, so I actually came out with $28 with $20 in wagers. So that might be the cheat code for the round robin parlay combination.
Look at you, dude. You are fucking playing the game.
Good job, dude.
Playing the game, my friend.
Well done. So he missed five.
How many did he put in?
He missed five. Goggles.
Oh.
He missed five. Four of them hit the uprights or the crossbar. only one non-contact miss was 56 yarders.
Camp leg, pal. But a little bit of competition.
You do always have.
Listen, we're not turning this into a fucking.
You always have a third kicker.
Field goal to pay.
You always do have a third, either a field goal kicker or a punter to
little,
come into camp.
Little competition never hurt anybody.
Can we get a missed fucking field goal prop for the Colts this year? Because goddamn, that might be the worst fucking move they've ever made.
All right. Johnny Betts from Tampa, what do you got? Jesus Christ.
I'm with Howdy, boys. Good to be back. Thanks for saving me for last.
People act like this guy's been a fucking 12-year stud in the NFL. Jesus Christ. Johnny Betts, please save the show.
You hear me, brothers?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hammer down.
Yeah, hammer down.
Hey, good to be back. I don't know if y'all saw, but we ended up hitting on the Kentucky Derby. I know some of y'all didn't take the old Medina Spirit line, but
no,
maybe
did.
I can change your mind this time.
I mean, he cheated.
That's fine. That's
he
horse racing.
He did not cheat.
That's horse that racing.
Was an ointment, which is allowed for therapeutic reasons. It was not allowed on the day of the race.
Oh, so it was over at the time of the race?
What do you got against the horse,
It
dude?
Was like given on the day of the race, but what happened was the vet didn't let
Johnny, we
Bob
know,
Baffert
we
know that drug was
Johnny,
in.
We fucking know. But Gumby's just giving you a hard time because you fucking hit.
Johnny, who do you want on this one, though?
The fuck is
okay,
happening?
Well, I still think Medina's got the best shot, so I am taking him win, play, show again.
Can he?
However, if 9-5 doesn't do it for you,
shut him the fuck.
I got a good 10-1 bet that I think has a pretty strong shot.
Go.
Have you heard of old Crowded Trade?
No, I have not.
This is Trad Brown's horse. He won the Preakness in 2017 with a really similar style horse.
Okay.
The horse before, Cloud Computing, also hit the board with the Gotham and the Wood Memorial.
Okay.
And this horse, Crowded Trade, has done the same thing. It does like a shorter track, and that's why it didn't run in the Kentucky Derby. So he's saving it for the Preakness, and it's on fresh legs. So I think at 10-1... doesn't hurt to hit him win play show as well. I think that the all only right. other concerns we have is
Johnny
old concert tour. What's that?
So you like Medina, and who was the second horse?
Crowded Trade.
Any other horses? With no explanation.
I think Midnight Bourbon's got a good shot again. I
thank
took
you,
him
Johnny.
Top five last time.
Thank you, Johnny Betts. Good hit last time. Thank you for the info.
Hey, no problem, boys. See you next time.
See you next time. You two, what the fuck's going on?
What do you mean?
You don't like? Can't remember. What was it?
Johnny Betts.
You don't like Johnny Betts?
All I said was what happened. Is that not what happened?
Well, I mean, if you ain't cheating, you're not trying, especially in horse racing.
Yeah, but.
And we don't care if you're cheating.
Gump was also trying to paint the picture that it was the horse that was actually taking the steroids.
We don't care if you're cheating.
Yeah, but
all we care about is who crosses that line and gets fucking paid out.
It's the horse that gets tested. It's not the fucking guy who owns it, dude. Who are you going to test Bob Baffert for? Christ. Bottle of red?
NBA
God
slate. How'd your fucking,
it.
How'd your must-win parlay work out, Bit?
That thing did not hit.
So, shocker.
Shocker. The six-team pick-every-game parlay didn't hit. What did hit was, actually, no, the Lakers didn't hit. They just barely won. LeBron was out, though. That's why. Like, LeBron was out.
Is he ever going to play?
No, it stinks,
he
dude.
Won't. It's I don't know. I'm kind of coming up with excuses just left and right for LeBron in my own head. So
only game I like tonight is like we talked about the Blazers potentially. Nuggets are sitting Michael Porter Jr. Memphis potentially, maybe Memphis there but the Kings have been fucking covering their asses.
The Nuggets sitting Michael Porter Jr., though, did drop the line to 4.5.
I know.
Which I do still like. I am actually taking because you just can't find the Nuggets against this bad Timberwolves team. These Nuggets, like Jokic, still playing at an MVP caliber level. They don't want to lose games. Pretty good.
I did have another lean tonight. So I have two leans, not picks.
Tony Lean.
Leans. NBA leans. Who Blazers and Pacers.
What the fuck is
happening?
Why are
you on the Pacers?
The Bucks trends have been terrible. Yeah, the Bucks okay. basically have number three locked up. They're not going to two. They're not going to four. And the Pacers are tied in the 8-9 with Charlotte. Pacers get up to eight. In the play-in scenario, it was a much better situation. So I'm taking the Pacers plus the eight.
Good for you, Tony.
I really don't hate that.
Maybe. That's a lean. I'm not actually taking it.
I do on that game. I do worry about Sabonis whenever he plays a bigger team. He usually just struggles. He's a smaller big in the league.
Sure.
But what I do really like is I really like the Knicks minus five against San Antonio. I thought San Antonio was playing for something. Seems like they're just trying to play their way out of the plan. So the Knicks clinched playoff berth yesterday. They're really hot. I love the Knicks. We talked about it earlier. The Knicks are FanDuel's, I guess...
biggest liability.
Yes, biggest liability in the NBA season. Thank you, Gumby.
Yes.
And they've been making money all year. It's the only team that has been. A
couple 3x2s tonight. Miami and Philly and Phoenix and Portland.
Phoenix and Portland. Do that one.
Is there any dingers?
No, but there's Boston and Houston both to win.
John, if we can get more dinger boosts.
We should.
God,
we should.
Damn it. Call him. Get him back on the horn.
Got a message. He'll come on whenever, so.
Okay. Call him. Call him right now.
Boston and Houston both to win. MLB.
Oof, that is fire, my friend.
That is fire. We can't thank you guys enough. Solid show today.
Yeah, it was good.
Solid show today.
Great calls, great info.
Let us know any... Oh, I forgot to put out the fucking rollover again.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to look right now what it's at, and then I'm going to tweet it out right now. That's on me.
We are going to... I'm going to figure it out how to do the ticker this show, so our bets go across the bottom during the show, because I've been getting a lot of tweets that nobody... sees our bets somehow. I mean, I get them on Saturday when I tweet them out too, but we're going to try and figure that out. Someone was like,
can you tweet out your bets? Okay, what's your incentive to watch the show then?
Yeah, what's the show, dude?
How do we live?
How do we survive?
How do we survive? How do I put food on the table?
How do I feed myself?
My goddamn livelihood. You're just here fucking here to snake bets? Well, we will put them on the ticker at the bottom. we came to a compromise. We'll put our bets on the ticker at the bottom. That'll be sweet. Can't thank you guys enough. Hammer Don on Twitter and Instagram. What happened there? Did you false start?
Yeah.
Hammer!
Duh.